Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
In the air, center field. Playable for Brenton Doyle. And the Astros are going to drop this one to the Colorado Rockies 6-1. Astros strand 11 compared to 2 left on for the Rockies. Colorado with 4 runs in the third, all unearned runs, and 2 more in the fifth. Win the opener of this 3-game series and the opener of a 10-game homestand by the final of 6-1.
Good, you know, the walks. He saw a ton of pitches, a couple of plays in left. He judged that it was a high fly ball. He judged the wall really well. And make that play on a deep fly ball. So, but he was moving around pretty well.
Well, yeah, it was a hand injury. I mean, he's moving around pretty well.
Everybody, when asked about Yordan Alvarez yesterday, after Yordan Alvarez misses a huge swath of the season with a hand injury, nobody seemed to want to directly answer any questions about his hand.
Yeah.
When asked if he was still in pain, Yordan basically said, "Hey, everything's going great, and we're just gonna
Did you see how well I was moving in left field? Yeah, look at that.
I don't think they figured out a damn thing with what's actually going on with his hand, other than that he's a hell of a Double-A baseball player,
yeah.
And nobody wants to pitch to him.
Right.
You got to see him fly out. That was great. But the other two at-bats, that kid was staying the hell away from Yordan Alvarez.
Last night I was at the they had the soft open for the new Kirby Ice House up in the Heights, so I was invited to that. So I went there, and the game was obviously on there. There's 500 people in the place, and Sammy met me, my son. Yeah. And he met up with me there, and he got there as the Astros game was starting, and Yordan Alvarez coming to the plate. And I said, "Son, let's watch this momentous return right here. This is an event, son. That back when Yordan was putting up MVP numbers, there was no greater event in the city of Houston that was must-watch more than a Yordan Alvarez at-bat. Let's sit and let's watch. Let's just take it all in." And he walked on 4 pitches. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, that was – well, at least he walked, you know. But
at least they gave us the show.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just doing the intentional walk, they just gave us a show of it.
Right. Yeah. They nibbled around the plate. Yeah.
You can't fault Yordan for that, obviously.
No.
I think you can fault the Astros – for leaving 11 runners stranded in the game. It was against a team that had a 5.96 ERA coming into
Houston. It's just a crappy. You can bring up any number. They're a horrible baseball team.
It's one of the worst baseball teams in the history of baseball, and I don't know if this fledgling league is going to make it. If that's the kind of if this is the kind of performance we're going to see. I don't, the worst baseball team, one of the worst baseball teams in the history of Major League Baseball, and the Astros eke out a run against them.
Well, it was a majestic run, though. When Jesus Sanchez hits home runs, they don't just barely get over the fence because he swings hard. So that's good to see. It was good to see old Jesus get a home run. It was a bad day. They lose to the Rockies, but tell me if you've heard this story before. The Mariners went out and lost last night as well.
Yeah, buddy.
They're still a game and a half up on the Mariners because the Mariners are equally pathetic right now.
The Astros and the Mariners are basically running that beer mile that you talked about yesterday chug a beer every lap. You chug a beer and you see how you can straggle to the finish line.
I'm glad you brought up running a mile. Can I just tell you that this whole everybody at the station runs a mile thing and we see who is the best? Has really picked up some steam with some of the other shows. I was listening to the toss yesterday between In the Loop and The Drive, and boy, is Clint Sterner angry that the people picked you to beat him in a mile.
Is he mad at me because of it?
I think there was to the point where Ron was kind of stepping in, like, hey, your anger at all the people voting is drifting into anger at Seth right now.
Right. Yeah. I've been very open in saying I think Clint would beat me in a mile.
Right. Well, here's the thing, and Clint may very well do that. I don't know if we have I got to go check the Area 45 to see if this made their show audio. I haven't had a chance to check. His rationale for why it's plum-ass silly, to use his words, that you would beat him. This is a guy who used to be 300 pounds running around on all those joints out there. And I'm like, used to be. He's 250 now, right? Like
And I've run a couple marathons.
Have you really? How did that not come up in the last 2 days when we're talking about this thing?
I don't know. I didn't really think of it. It's not like I ran them fast or anything.
Yeah, but you ran them.
I ran an ultra marathon. I ran a 50 miler once. So that I used to be as big as Clint is painting me out to be, just some big fat doofus. And then I decided to start running marathons to get down to a better weight.
Remind me if I'm ever in trouble, you know, like accused of murder, to not hire you as my lawyer. Like, you might want to bring up the whole marathon thing when we're talking about running a mile.
Yeah, that's different than running a mile. Like, I shuffled a few marathons. It's not like I was out there like some Ethiopian just gliding along the surface of the earth.
Again, we're not comparing you to Olympians. We're comparing you to the staff at Sports Radio 610. That is material information for comparing. Yeah. Now, Sean Bajani's run 3 marathons, as it turns out.
Yeah, and he's probably run a respectable time.
Maybe, I don't know.
By layperson's standards.
But he was texting me yesterday when this topic came up, and for those who missed it, Seth brought up an analogy about running a mile the other day, about us choosing him as if that were like something stupid to do. And I said to Seth, I'm like, look at our
choosing
staff.
Choosing me.
Yeah, choosing you. Yeah.
And so, Bajani is my choice. I think Bajani would crush all of us.
Right, well, and Bajani was listening yesterday when we were rehashing it, and he's texting me like, hey, I would smoke all you fools. I've ran 3 marathons. Yeah. So I said, okay.
So Clint's going to do that thing with me that you had to fight against with Tebow. I always tried to make the distinction. Like, I don't hate Tebow at all. I hate the people who are idiotically championing him for no good reason whatsoever.
He's Tebowing you right now.
Yeah.
They were talking about it again. I was listening to the drive on my way home from Kirby Ice House last night. And boy, Bajani was agitated that anybody would be picked ahead of him in this whole thing.
All right. I'm going to get out to the track on Saturday and just do a little diagnostics here.
I don't think.
I'm going to see how fast I can run a 400 at a comfortable pace.
This could be fun. We might when it gets cooler outside, we might need to make an event out of this.
This might be a bi-week activity or something.
I'll be gone on the bi-week.
It's not going to be cool outside by then.
No. I won't be here for the bi-week.
So speaking of the bi-week, do we think that by the bi-week that the Texans will only have 2 tight ends on the roster? 7, that they'll have a bloated wide receiver room of 7, that they'll have, I mean, right now, after final cuts, the Texans have a total of 12 defensive linemen, which is a lot. When you include the 2 guys that are on the PUP list right now, the cuts yesterday, there were some pretty notable, not necessarily earth-shattering surprises, but some notable surprises.
The three that I didn't have, because I do a 53-man roster after the third preseason game to try to predict what I think it's going to look like. The three that I had making the roster that didn't make the 53-man roster were Miles Bryant. He didn't make it. They're only carrying eight defensive backs right now, too. We should point that out. They're really light on a couple. Not really light. They're light by a guy or two at a couple positions, tight end and DB. They're heavy on a couple positions as well. You're right. Wide receiver, they're heavy right now. And when you add in the guys on PUP, they're really heavy on defensive linemen. So I had Miles Bryant making it. He didn't make it. I had Jakob Johnson making it. He didn't make it. And then I had Irv Smith making it. He's going on IR, so technically I got that one wrong. He didn't make it. Instead, the three guys that did make it, Graham Mertz, they're carrying a third quarterback, so you could argue they're overloaded at that position too right now. British Brooks made the team, which maybe we should have seen coming. He had a really, really good camp, and he made the team last year. And then Jamal.
Well, they love him. They love him on special teams.
They love him on special teams.
And Jakob Johnson, I pointed this out a couple times. I like having a fullback in the game. I wasn't super enthusiastic about his actual blocking in the preseason games. There were a couple times where he just didn't actually do a great job of getting up the linebackers and safeties. So, but we didn't see British Brooks. I don't think he took a snap at fullback in the preseason. I might not remember. I might be forgetting something. But that's where I kind of thought, all right, it looks like Jakob Johnson's going to be their fullback. And now you don't they're either feeling good about British Brooks or they think that Cade Stover can just be the classic most teams do in the league anymore is he plays H-back when you need a fullback.
Yeah, and Jamal Hill made the team. I didn't have that one, but again, that's not a huge Mertz. I'm surprised they carried three quarterbacks. British Brooks, I'm mad at myself that I was surprised at that because I shouldn't have been. Jamal Hill, I'm not totally surprised. Jamal Hill had a very good training camp, and he's a young player who's cheap, thank God, because they cut Nick Neiman, who they've got to pay $4 million to. Nick Neiman had the most lucrative training camp of any player in a Texan uniform. He got cut and is getting $4 million guaranteed.
Then the other, I've seen people concerned about this, and understandably so. There's rumors, or at least reported by Adam Schefter, that the Texans are shopping Cam Robinson, the offensive tackle, around. And Blake Fisher is the only other offensive tackle on the roster right now.
Besides
so
the starters,
you look at that and people immediately think, okay, well, if Cam Robinson gets traded, then Blake Fisher all of a sudden is your swing tackle, and we don't feel super duper cool with that. I think the interesting thing to watch will be what they do with Trent Brown, because Trent Brown might end up on the practice squad. Mm-hmm. Remember, ever since COVID, you can have 34-year-old guys on your practice squad.
Yeah, it's a certain amount. You've got like 5 or 6 spots you can bring in vets. Yeah.
Yeah, and then also, I think, I remember, this is the initial, as the Texans themselves put it on their graphic they put out, it's not the final 53-man roster, it's the initial 53-man roster.
Totally, yeah.
So if Cam Robinson were to get traded, the big offensive tackle trade that we saw yesterday was Austin Deculus actually getting traded to the Chargers. So
yeah, for a seventh round pick. Nick got a seventh round pick for Austin.
A conditional
Deculus.
Seventh round
yeah,
pick.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I feel better about Blake Fisher after his second preseason performance, but at the cornerback, at offensive tackle, at where's the other? Oh, tight end. I think there's still potential that the guy who's going to be there week one is on either waivers right now or is somebody the Texans trade for.
Yeah, I know you were asking tongue-in-cheek, are they going to have these guys on by the bye week in week six or whatever, but I think it's going to change in the next 2 days. This 53 will not be the 50. You and I will come, by the time we come in on Friday, I'll call it, this will not be the 53 anymore. There will be one or two new guys on this team.
Yeah, you know, no, my tongue wasn't in the cheek when I don't even remember what reference I made, but things are going to change, obviously, by the bye week. This is a Nick Caseria roster. There's going to be churn.
Yeah, for sure. Nick meets with the media today at 9 o'clock. We'll carry that live.
My tongue was sticking out Michael Jordan-like as Clint Sterner lagged 400 meters behind me. I'm going to lap Clint by the end of the mile.
I want to see this. I think we could do this stack it like a WrestleMania card. You versus Clint.
Yeah.
As I predicted, Lopez was completely dismissive of me being able to beat him in a mile yesterday. When I asked him, not on the air, I asked him off the air, I said, do you think you'd beat me in a mile? He's like, I'd blow you out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have a swimming pool anymore,
now that
buddy.
Now that I find out that Clint's been talking smack about me, and
he was very agitated yesterday.
I might even go get cortisone injections for this one.
Okay.
My knee is in no shape to be running, but I'm gonna go assemble a crack squad of consultants to help me get through this 1 mile. I think
Reggie, well, you know, Bajani was most angry that the people picked Reggie that would win. And so I think if we did a race with Bajani versus Reggie, you versus Clint, me versus Lopez, I think we could stack a nice little card here.
I think if we do it all in one heat, it's just there's lots of drama to go around in that one. Just do one race. And I'm not even going to be shooting. I'm not even going to be trying to win the thing. My whole goal is to bronze this MF-er.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, everybody. I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm going to bronze this son of a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I got the competitive spirit in me.
That's what I'm telling you. Dude, if you go back and listen to it, you're going to get, however you feel right now, times five once you go listen to the audio. He was
me a fat piece of crap.
Said you were at one time 300 pounds, and somehow that was his rationale for saying he could beat you. Like
I was intentionally 300 pounds. Yeah. It wasn't like I had no self-control or anything.
He wasn't saying that. He was just pointing out the fact that you, at one time, were carrying a whole lot of weight on those joints that you have right now.
Well, that's what, And do you know what it's like to try to play 50 snaps in an NFL game while carrying all that weight?
Right.
You got to develop an engine, man.
Yeah, man.
Your cardiovascular system is working overtime. People don't realize those linemen out there, they're carrying a lot of extra weight, but their heart rate's staying at 140 plus for long stretches of time, 160 plus.
I'm on your side.
Long stretches of time.
I'm on your side in this. I'm on your side.
All right.
Football Talk on Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. CJ Stroud on First Take yesterday. Feels like the gloves are off now when it comes to talking about the 2024 Texans offense. We'll have the audio for you from First Take yesterday coming up next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We'll dig a little deeper into the Texans roster at the top of the hour. They have their initial 53-man roster all set, ready to go. They put out a graphic yesterday, so that makes it official. It's graphic official. A question on the text page. What do y'all think about trading Mechie for Harrison Bryant and then cutting Harrison Bryant? I don't. It was that level of trade. It was.
Yeah, I think it was a classic. It was kind of like what they did with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kenyon Green, where one team at least with the Kenyon Green trade, both teams were gonna cut that player anyway, most likely. Yeah. So they just go ahead and swap it so they have some control in the matter.
Yeah.
I think with the difference being that C.J. Gardner-Johnson's still a good football player.
Right.
With John Mechie, John Mechie wasn't going to make the squad.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles wanted to, you know, they had some competition going on at the back end of their receiver group. They had too many tight ends. Texans needed a tight end for part of their competition. So I didn't even see if John Mechie made the squad.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Seth. I'm guessing Mechie made it. Otherwise, it would have floated across my timeline that he didn't make it. So
I mean, that's what I don't. John, they kept 7 wide receivers. Like, they weren't going to keep 8. John Mechie wasn't going to make the team.
We're going to make the
team. So that was, that's, I don't have a second thought about that at all. One other thing, too, was somebody yesterday said that it was a waste of money signing Cam Robinson. I don't look at it that way at all, because there's a report by Adam Schefter that the Texans are thinking about trading or shopping Cam Robinson. You got to remember the timeline of it all.
Yeah.
The Texans signed Cam Robinson to a 1-year deal in March because they didn't have any offense. They had traded away Laremy Tunsil. They didn't have any offensive tackles they felt good about necessarily.
Yep.
And you don't know what's going to happen in the draft at that point.
Yeah.
So it's an insurance policy. And now they might not need the insurance policy as much, but it's not 100% guaranteed they're gonna trade him.
Yeah,
they're shopping and seeing what's out there.
If you were someone who said that it was a waste of money at the time of the signing, then fine, then you've thought it's a waste of money from the beginning. If you're somebody who didn't say boo when they signed him and now you're saying it's a waste of money, then think about why you're saying that. It's because Arianti Urseri, the second round pick, has massively overachieved to get to where he is. It's for a good reason why you're feeling that way, that the Texans actually have finally found somebody in the second round that's worthy of starting as a rookie on the offensive line.
I'll tell you what, the Eagles, at least on our lads right now, it shows them with 5 wide receivers.
Yeah.
So John Mechie made the cut along with Darius Cooper.
With only 5 receivers, Mechie, okay, you can see why they wanted to trade for him then, I guess, that they have so little depth that 5 receivers are on the team and Mechie's actually one of them. That's wild.
Yeah, they've got like A.J. Brown, Dotson, and Devontae Smith, and then after that it was just a wide open
falls off a cliff. Yeah. All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on the text page here. C.J. Stroud was on First Take yesterday, and man, the more questions pop up about last year's offense and comparing it to this year's offense, it feels like the gloves come further off when it comes to the frustration maybe over what was going down last year with this team offensively. C.J. Stroud was asked by Stephen A. Smith about the offensive line and other improvements that they've tried to make on the offensive side of the ball.
Did you bribe them? What is it that you did in the offseason to get them to make sure you don't get sacked 52 times this upcoming season like you did last year? Because, damn it, what are you supposed to do if you're not protected? How do you feel about your offensive line this year?
I feel great. I think, you know, we brought in a lot of great pieces. Of course, we know we traded Laremy, but I feel like we brought in a rookie who is hungry, wants to get better, is doing great in camp. Titus is back at tackle. He looks great. So we got a lot of good pieces, man, and versatile. We're young. We have a new scheme. I think that had to do a lot with it last year. Was like, we got to be able to get rid of the ball, move the pocket, like help those guys out. Everything can't just be drop back pass. We play action. So that's running the ball. You know, so there's ways we can help those guys out. And by me, I got to do a better job of getting the ball out when it's necessary. So it's not just on them, it's on me as well. So I think we're doing a great job by setting that foundation in camp. And I'm excited, man. Our O-line looks great.
Right. Yeah, I think the big thing there is, he's not going to come out and bluntly say it. He said it, though. Don't make it so hard and challenging for the offensive line either, and understand the situations you're in and get rid of the ball quickly. They've been working on the quick game a lot. They drafted a receiving running back, and that's something that when the running back becomes more of an asset and a threat, that makes it easier on the offensive line. They've done a lot to clean things up. There is, as we enter the regular season, though, now, I've been kind of stacking up the positive things I've seen. The one big hanging issue is we still don't know how good these guys are individually. Yeah. We don't know how Ariante Irisri is going to be in actual NFL games. Jake Andrews, Ed Ingram, who was benched in Minnesota last year. Is Titus Howard the best version of himself in this scheme? We just flat out don't know until we actually see him do it versus live NFL action. But a lot of the things that were holding them back last year that we could see in training camp, those things are absent. Some of the discombobulation, the mental errors, the free runners into the backfield, they've cleaned a lot of that up. So I think, as I've been saying all offseason or all training camp long, they're going to be a better offensive line. Yeah. I just don't know if they're going to be a good offensive line. They were an atrocious offensive line last year.
Yeah.
Can they be a above-average offensive line? There's a chance, but I got to see it with my own eyeballs.
Man, if they're above-average, look out. Seriously, I'm not being cute. If they're above-average, this offense is going to take off.
Right, because then it's a matter of, okay, you don't have the offensive line dragging you down.
Correct.
You can lean on C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins and hopefully the developing young receivers and Christian Kirk and everybody else. It'd be really nice to lean on Joe Mixon too, but that's
let's talk about that. C.J. Stroud was asked about that yesterday. He was on First Take, and by the time they did this interview, Mixon, the news had already been announced the day before that Joe Mixon would be going on the non-football injury reserve list. He's going to miss the first four games. What do you think about your running back room without Joe Mixon, at least to start the season, CJ?
Yeah, Nick looks great, man. I'm, hoping Joe gets back healthy soon. Nick looks amazing. He looks, fresh. He's powerful in this type of scheme. I think he's going to do great. I think Damian Pierce is going to have another great year. This is his type of scheme, downhill running. We got a couple young rookies that are really good. Woody Marks, who we got from USC, is a baller. Great, smart young kid who loves ball. And I think, that room is doing great. Our tight ends are blocking their tails off, running great routes. I think it's going to be trending up.
Yeah, I made the mistake of going back and putting together a little highlight reel of Joe Mixon from the playoff game versus the Chargers, and I kind of wish I hadn't done it because physiologically, yeah, he's just it's a different level than anything we've seen out of these running backs, including Nick Chubb in the preseason.
Yep.
I haven't just seen that same explosiveness and speed that you get out of Joe Mixon. We've seen the strength and we've seen the vision. And right now, my hopes for Nick Chubb are, all right, man, he doesn't look like his old self. But if we're talking about improving over last year, he looks viable and he looks like a guy you can churn out yardage. So it's also the preseason where guys like running backs and wide receivers, everybody else, they don't really have a chance to really show the best version of themselves. But Chubb right now looks way better than he did back in OTAs in the first week of training camp when it looked like he was really shaking off a lot of rust.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amazing might be a reach. This is what CJ described, that Nick looks amazing. But you can win games with this version of Nick Chubb at running back, is what I would say. Like, if the version that you saw, certainly the version, I mean, the only sample we have in a game is the Panther game where he played in that first series. 5 carries, 25 yards. But you were talking about it. You did a cut-up of those carries, Seth. You can win games with that version of Nick Chubb.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, and the biggest thing by far is eliminate the negative plays. Yeah. And because of the style of runs that they've been calling so far, and because Nick Chubb's skill set still is, he's still strong as hell. I don't know how explosive he is, but he's still really strong and he's got really good vision that, compared to last year, you're so far ahead of where you were last year if you're just not getting tackled for a loss or hit in the backfield.
Yep.
If you can just keep the line of scrimmage moving forward and stay on schedule, you're ahead. And then again, you're leaning on you're leaning on those skill player positions to be the thing that's special about the team.
Yeah. Question on the text page. Any worries that Ursary struggles once the regular season defensive strategies start? Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes, of course. 100%.
Lots of them. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't mistake any of my positivity for irrationally exuberant, you know, proclamations of greatness for the offensive line. I think Ariante Ursary can be really, really good. But offensive tackle, it's just guys develop at different rates. And Dwayne Brown is the classic example of a guy where it took several years for him to, for it to really click for him. But I think Ariante Ursary, the biggest thing is there's going to be times where he loses. There's going to be things he hasn't seen yet. He's seen a lot of the classic, hey, Rook, just take it with a grain of salt because you haven't seen everything yet. Between Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, he's seen a lot of the scary stuff that he's going to see in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, he's seen speed to power out of Will Anderson. He's seen a vast array of moves and counter moves by Danielle Hunter. So I think he's better prepared than most rookies just by virtue of the fact that he's going against a couple of defensive ends who are the among the best in the NFL and who practice really hard. Will and Danielle are not divas that sit out there and try to be vets and don't take a lot of reps. They're out there every single rep. Yeah. So there's going to be hiccups along the way, as there is with any rookie. But I'm of all the things that I might be irrationally optimistic about, the Ariante Ursary is probably right at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I feel very good about him, but I'm expecting some hiccups.
Of course. Yeah. Another text. I worry that we're going to trade an experienced tackle and lean on a rookie that's only seen vanilla preseason defense. That's a valid concern.
You know what, though, too? Laremy Tunsil was an experienced tackle who actively damaged you multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't think Ariante Ursary is going to stab his own teammates in the back as many times with pre-snap penalties. And I also think that Ariante Ursary immediately is going to be an upgrade in the run game over Laremy Tunsil. You could say that about half the offensive tackles in the league.
Sure.
Half the offensive tackles in the league are better run blockers than Laremy Tunsil. And this is a team that's going to run the ball a lot, I think. And Ariante Ursary is an immediate upgrade over that.
Yeah.
Now, even as a rookie, he's going to be better than Laremy Tunsil as a run blocker.
Yep. All right, I'm going to save this for headline. We should mention Jimmy Ward is going on the commissioner's exempt list. Probably deserves a little bit more than the 35 seconds we've got left in the segment here. Because there's Jimmy Ward, there's a handful of other guys. Seth already touched on a couple of them, Danico Autry and Kurt Heinisch, that are still Houston Texans, but they're off to the side right now on various injured lists, whether it's the PUP list or whether it's injured reserve. So let's dig into those in headlines. We've got the Astros losing a baseball game yesterday. That'll be in headlines. And we'll dig more into this 53-man roster at the top of the hour. We've got the group of players for the Texans that are in the NFL Top 100 rounded out yesterday. We got the final one yesterday. We'll get into all that in the 7 o'clock hours. We roll on Nick Caserio press conference today at 9 a.m. We'll carry that live on the show.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Go.
Pain and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
In the air, center field, playable for Brenton Doyle. And the Astros are going to drop this one to the Colorado Rockies 6-1. Astros strand 11 compared to 2 left on for the Rockies. Colorado with 4 runs in the third, all unearned runs, and 2 more in the fifth, win the opener of this 3-game series and the opener of a 10-game homestand by the final of 6-1.
Yeah, one of those weird games where Hunter Brown loses the game 6-1. He gives up all 6 runs, but only 2 of them are earned. So he technically got a quality start. He pitched into the 7th inning in that game. He pitched 6 in the third and gave up 2 earned runs in that game. Hunter Brown, by and large, was all right in that game if they could have made some plays in the 3rd inning to get out of the inning. But Jeremy Pena not standing on 2nd when they tried to turn a double play and they tried to cut down the lead runner, and then the runner, Kyle Karros, bumps into Pena's glove and the ball rolls into the outfield. And then the Astros just didn't handle adversity very well. They give up 4 runs in that inning, and the bats went silent again, and they lose 6-1 to one of the worst teams in the last decade in baseball.
The recipe for how this Astros team has had to win is, hey, your defense has to be better than everybody else's in the league, and your starting pitchers better just go get through 6 innings and be immaculate. And so as you said, he only allows 2 earned runs, but lets up 6 runs
six
in the
runs
outing
total. They gave up a home run in there too.
And the defense is just, there've been more defensive flubs in the last week than I care to see out of the Astros. But you're at the end of the day, ultimately, you're going against one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball.
Get out of
history.
The inning.
Score some runs at some point.
Yeah.
You've got Yordan in the lineup. Hey, he's going to make everybody else better, right?
Yeah.
Look at that. They're not even throwing him strikes.
Yeah.
Hardly ever.
Yeah.
He gets a walk twice with it and 2 just easy at bats. That should be. But they leave 11 runners on base against one of the worst teams in the history of Major League Baseball, and that's what we have here late in August when it's crunch time. And the only thing that they're really good at is watching the Mariners suck as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they're excellent at that. So the game and a half is the lead right now in the AL West. The schedule for next year came out yesterday, just dropped yesterday afternoon. The Astros will open next season on Thursday, March 26th with a 7-game homestand. How about that?
Nice.
Four against the Angels, 3 against the Red Sox. So that'll be fun. The home series against the Yankees. Man, the early part of the season next year, you get a 7-game homestand to start the season. The Yankees come to town in April. The Dodgers come to town a week later. And then you have a 7-game homestand a week after that against Seattle and the Rangers. 4 against Seattle. Like, by the middle of May, you'll have played like 4 or 5 of the series that are probably the most anticipated ones on the schedule. So that'll be really cool. The other noteworthy thing, there's an 8-game homestand literally like a year from now, middle of August, where it's Seattle, the Angels, and the Athletics. So you get 9 games of all divisional games So that'll be cool. But yeah, the season opens at home next year, March 26 against the Angels.
What are you? Did you say the Red Sox are the second team they face?
Yes.
What are you putting the percentage chances that Alex Bregman is on that Red Sox team?
I think he'll be on that team. Yeah.
He's playing. His numbers right now are very much on par with 2018 and 2019.
Yeah.
Which were previously by far his best seasons.
He would be in the MVP conversation if he hadn't missed 8 weeks with a quad injury or whatever it was.
He's only played 87 games.
Yeah. Yeah. So he missed about 50 games. He would be in the MVP conversation, I think, in the American League. All right, switching over to the Texans. They got their roster down to 53 yesterday. 3 o'clock deadline. They got it done. Probably the biggest news, I would say, Seth, roster related with the Texans, other than maybe some of the surprises on there, which we'll get into at 7 o'clock. We've not talked about this yet, but as you've forecasted, I think, on our show, Jimmy Ward to the commissioner's exempt list with his legal issues right now. That's for those who don't know what that is. It's basically a place that they park players where they're being investigated for some sort of off the field issue. That's Jimmy Ward's situation right now. He's got a criminal case open against him. He's got a civil lawsuit open against him. He cannot practice nor play with the team while he's on the commissioner's exempt list. We should mention he still is dealing with the aftermath of a foot injury from last year. So I don't know how much practicing or playing. If he didn't have these legal issues, he'd probably be on the PUP list, if I had to guess.
The commissioner's exempt list is what the league came up with, basically, because it's a PR nightmare. If you want to afford a guy his due process, yet at the same time, if somebody's accused of abusing a woman or something, and it turns out that he plays 12 games and he totally did something, hypothetically, then it's a bad look for everybody. But you also don't want to jump to conclusions and anything. No. So they kind of they park him off the side. You don't lose any money. You keep getting paid.
Yeah.
With younger players, it feels more punitive because these are guys that are trying to prove themselves in the league and you only have so many years to play pro football. With Jimmy Ward, it doesn't feel punitive at all in that regard because he's a guy that's had a hard time playing an entire season anyway, each of the last three seasons. And his better days are behind him.
Yeah.
So they're genuinely just parking him off to the side until there's more clarity on the legal situation.
Yep. And he still, as you pointed out, he still gets paid. So so we'll see how it plays out. And D'Amico Ryans was asked about it last week, and it seems like the team's stance on this, if I'm taking D'Amico to represent the Texans' view on this, is that they are going to let this play out and see what the end result is. So I don't think Jimmy Ward's career as a Texan is necessarily over. If his career as a Texan were over, they would have cut him already. So this is... they're going to let
I think D'Amico is pretty open about saying we don't know the facts about the situation, and you have to let it play out and learn it. You don't jump to conclusions on either side of it. So.
Yep. Where were you yesterday when you found out that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are getting engaged?
I think I was.
Do you remember where you were?
I think I was sitting in this chair and you told me.
No, it happened after the show. It didn't.
Oh, all right. I was still sitting in this chair, and I saw your text then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you texted me. That's where I was.
Yeah.
Sean T. Pendergast, page 6 of Payne and Pendergast, let me know yesterday.
Yeah. My daughter said she was screaming for like 5 minutes about this. My daughter's a huge Swiftie. I think as the audience knows, I've pointed that out before. I asked her if she was happy about it, and she texted so many exclamation points. I'm screaming. I'm so happy for them. Jesse Watt from Mix 96.5 did a video. She was running around the hallways here looking for somebody to talk to about this. This is a huge disconnect for me, and I don't think it's an age thing because we've had this issue with the royal family, too, when there's been weddings and things like that. I am just not into famous people getting married going gaga over it. I was being sarcastic when I asked you where were you when you were like, I don't get that. Now I hope they have a nice long marriage. I would say the one thing, this is so bad it might wind up in Take-A-Mania on Friday. It's not an audio take. It's a tweet. But the Kansas City Chiefs understandably tweeted out about this. It's why wouldn't you? Engagement, if nothing else. Taylor Swift is in a picture on your timeline. But the Chiefs tweeted out a picture of the two of them on the field after the Super Bowl, the confetti falling down, they're hugging each other. And the Chiefs said this: today is a fairy tale. Heart emoji, engagement ring emoji. Congrats to Travis and Taylor We're excited to have you as a permanent member of the Chiefs Kingdom family, exclamation point. And I thought to myself, and I actually retweeted this, and I said, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Let's pump the brakes on permanent here, you know?
Yeah, and like the Chiefs of all teams should know. I mean, they've got one of the most unsettling track record of how men have acted as husbands when or boyfriends when they're with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. So, yeah, they should know that this isn't for life until proven.
Well, the social media team. Someone needs to dial in the social media team because they use the P word. Yeah, permanent.
Yeah. No, they're going to capitalize on this. So this, I know that most of our listeners are super excited now that they get to see more Taylor Swift content during NFL games as much as possible. Yes.
Yeah. No, and I'm being tongue in cheek. Well, not really. With the 50, that's factual. It is a 50% divorce rate. Like I'm not obsessing over this marriage failing necessarily. I just don't. That is something I need explained to me. Like why. Do people get so excited about celebrities getting married to each other? That's I don't understand that.
They're happy for them. It's like when you get excited about one of your let's say when a family member gets married and you know like
it's a family member.
Never really thought he was the marrying type. But there's also a little bit of like let's give it a go. Good for you.
No. But I'm talking about the people that, like my daughter. That are legitimately happy as if they are family members.
Because she cares about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
She's excited about it. The number of... Sean, it's women that are getting excited about this. The men are... There's very few men that are super excited and stoked and happy for Travis or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's women get excited about marriages.
Yeah.
You know this.
No, I know it. I know it, obviously. Yeah. I referenced the royal family for years 5 minutes ago. I just don't understand it, is what I'm saying.
But because you're a man.
Yeah.
It's like this. I'm trying to explain to you that women get excited about marriages.
Yeah.
You don't understand it because, in general, you don't get as excited about the men in your family getting married as the women get excited. Or except you don't get as excited about people getting married in your family as the women in your family get excited.
That's probably
in general.
True. Yeah, that's
to
probably
generalize,
true.
You're just a generalized male.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There we go. I'm glad
now the royal family is a whole other dynamic because it's the whole thing is dumb. Like the entire country of England has been duped into putting these people up on a pedestal when every other country in the world cut their heads off long ago.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, the fact that the royal family of England is still walking around with heads on top of their shoulders, it should be a point of shame for that entire damn island
that's
over
a
there.
Visual.
It's true.
No, I know.
What do you do with a king? It's the 1800s. What should we do with our king? Kill him. Yeah. Cut his head off.
Right.
Yes, that's what you do.
Yeah.
England, they're like, well, no, let's be fancy lads for another century and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, not only just letting them hang around, they still get celebrated. But Americans celebrating the royal family makes zero sense.
No, zero. Yeah. Zero
they
sense.
They taxed us for years without representation. It's... Okay, good. I'm glad we had this talk.
I don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go look up Schoolhouse Rock, No More Kings. Go listen to that, kids. All right? You'll learn a lot. All right. Those are your headlines. Let's get to the Texans 53-man roster. Easy segue from Travis Kelce to Taylor Swift. The three surprises I had on this roster, the couple of positions that I think are going to change over the next couple of days, we'll dig into that. Coming up next.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.